Paul went to, and the thought that I want to put in your mind and your heart today, what intrigues you about going on a trip oftentimes? What intrigues you? What do you take for a trip? What do you look for on a trip? And I'm going to ask you that here in just a minute. Take your Bibles, though, and stand with me if you're able. Go to Acts chapter 21. We are finally out of chapter 20 and into chapter 21. Hallelujah. I think we only stayed in chapter 20 for about 4 months. Chapter 20. Now, in all fairness, it was 38 verses. Amen. So, and in all fairness, chapter 21 is 40 verses. So what can you surmise from that? No, the first verses are going to go really quick because Paul's just traveling here. Acts chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Once you found your place there, amen, say amen.
Amen.
All right, and Brother Duffy said if I'm not done by 6 o'clock, he's going to leave and go home and watch Green Bay. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that, but I will try to be done by 6 o'clock, amen. All right, read verses 1 and 2 with me here, this is Paul now about to leave the elders that he had called together in Miletus, and he's headed to Jerusalem going there. So read verses 1 and 2 with me. Here we go. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Kos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Father, bless these next moments as we have the ability to track Paul's journey, to see where he's been, to see what he's done. Lord, help us to glean a blessing from what we read tonight, that we may, Lord, again, sense your moving in Paul's life as he's burdened about his people, the Jews, Lord, and getting back to Jerusalem to testify to them. Thank you, Lord, for his great burden, for his brethren. Help us to be burdened for those that we know, Lord, our friends, our family, co-workers, whoever it is around us. Help us to be just as burdened as Paul was. Paul said he could wish himself a curse from Christ for their sakes. God, I don't know if we have that type of a zeal, that type of a love, but we do want to see people saved. And so, Lord, help us now to glean a blessing from Paul's life and, Lord, absorb more of the word of God. We may leave here a little differently than we came in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to ask you this question. What do you like most about a trip? Going on a trip, what do you like most? Terrell? Seeing new things. Amen. Joshua? The adventure of eating candy or the adventure of going on a trip? Both, amen, yes. Seeing your children, amen. Seeing family, amen, Tasha? Journey to the destination. How about scenery, amen, Mrs. White? You sound like Ms. Dawson. No cooking, no washing dishes, amen. Layla? And you don't have to clean your room. Amen. All right. And Dimitri, what'd you say about the trip? New scenery. Amen. Amen. Yes, Mariah. The hotels. Amen. Amen. And going swimming or whatever the case may be. Amen. Anybody else? What do you like about going on a trip, Ms. Dawson? Read, listen to music, and do nothing. Amen. Faith. Go to sleep, amen. The landing and the taking off on the airplane, amen. And the peanuts that they give you in the free soda, amen. Yes? Layla? Get to sleep in, amen, amen. Praise God. You know, going on a trip is always exciting. It's always fun. Yes, Jerry? Amen, amen, amen. You know, there's so many different things. Yes, Faye, you say something else? Sometimes going swimming, amen. So, you know, when you look at what's going on here in chapter 21, Paul is about to head back to Jerusalem. He's going to go a long ways from Miletus to get down to Jerusalem. And one of the two of the things that I noticed that stuck out in this passage, number one, are the people that he met. And number two were the places that were recorded. I remember one year we traveled all the way back to the East Coast, and my wife was marking down every state that we went to, and we would get out at the sign saying, welcome to Georgia, welcome to Oklahoma. You know, we got out there and got in front of the sign, you know, we were here, and we marked the map and got a chance to look at all the different states we went to. That was the year we had gone east for family, then we had gone west for the Lancaster, and then we had to go up to North Dakota for Brad and his wedding. And I mean, we traveled that year, and we put some mileage on the vehicle, and we looked back at the map. We saw all the places that we had seen, Mount Rushmore and all these other things. I thought, glory, man, we got around this year. We did some traveling. Amen. Now, I don't like doing all that traveling, especially since G2 can't drive. Amen. Because I want to do what Ms. Dawson doing, lay back and read some. Amen. But soon he'll be old enough to drive. And I mean, we put some mileage, and it was just beautiful to see the different places, the changes of climates. And I had no clue that in June when Brad got married, it was in the 50s in North Dakota. And it got cold at night, and we froze and turned on the heat. I did not know it got that cold, amen. And I thought, this is not a place for me. We are not going to live in North Dakota, Lord willing, amen. But he is detailing here the people and the places all the way up to verse 17 they saw. And that's why I wanted to give you the map, because Luke is very particular about jotting down the places that he went to and noticing what was there. And then he's very particular about noticing the people that they met along the way. I don't know about you, but when you go someplace new, it seems like you always meet somebody new. And that's always a blessing. It's always an encouragement. Amen. And that seems to be the highlight here, the people and the places down through verses 1 through 17. And so the farewell address is over. The brethren of Ephesus are being left behind. And Paul here now is setting off to go down to Jerusalem and to meet with the brethren there. Amen. He's returned to go down there. He's returned to see them. And Luke is detailing the events along the way. And Paul finds great joy in the brethren as he's going down there. I don't know about you, but whenever I go back someplace and I meet some brethren, amen, it's always an encouragement for my soul and my heart to see the brethren, amen. And remember that Luke is writing for one guy named who? Who remembers who he's writing for? Not Timothy, it does begin with a T. Thomas. Theophilus. Go back to chapter number 1. So remember who he's writing for. He's writing for Theophilus. Go back to chapter number 1. Of Acts. And Luke here is pinning down this epistle. And notice what he says here in Acts chapter number 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. As soon as I get there, I'll read them. Amen. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. Now, trivia question. What is the former treaties that he's talking about? Anybody know? The former treaties. We'll get to that in a minute here. All right. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Anybody know what the former treaties is now? Luke. Notice what he says. The former treaties or the former writing have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Where do we have the compilation of all that Jesus began to do and teach? The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so he says, the former treaties or the Gospel of Luke, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. And so verses 1, 2, and 3 tell you what he has done and what he is about to do in writing this next epistle. Now go back to the Gospel of Luke, because that is the former treatise, the Gospel of Luke. And Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. And notice how Luke starts this. Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent who? Theophilus. Why? That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So obviously, Theophilus is a Gentile official of some sort who obviously came to know Christ in some way, shape, fashion, form by somebody, and somebody instructed him. And so Luke takes it down to pin to Theophilus what Jesus Christ began to do. Then in the book of Acts, he says, now let me tell you what happened after Jesus ascended. And he writes the book of Acts. Amen. And so that you know, this probably is somebody noteworthy. Notice the end of verse 3. He calls him Most Excellent Theophilus. Go over to Acts chapter 23. We see a reference to that same type of a term given to an official. Acts chapter 23. And Acts 23. And there's another notable person here. 23. And verse number 26. Of course, Paul here is being escorted down to Caesarea. And notice what it says here in verse number 25. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias, that's the guy who's being presented, unto the most, what's that word? Most excellent. What did he call Theophilus? Most excellent Theophilus. Most excellent governor, Felix sendeth greetings. So he's getting this thing to Felix, and he's calling him Most Excellent. So we know that Theophilus was in some way, shape, fashion, or form, some type of an official in a high position that had come to know Christ, and he wanted more information on Jesus Christ. And so Gospel of Luke was written by Luke, and now the Acts of the Apostles are being written as well to give him more of an understanding. But guess what? In the process, we get that blessing too. Amen? Because we have this epistle as well as the Gospel of Luke. Now, question, why might it be a blessing for Theophilus to know this information? So he can spread it, amen? Why else would it be pretty good for him to know this? Why does he need to know this? Why do we need to know it? Knowing what he has in Christ, so he can understand, amen, so he can be a better Christian, so he can get grounded, so he can know whom he has believed and stand firm in it, amen. None worse than not knowing what you believe and not knowing how to stand and being wishy-washy in it. Somebody say, are you saved? Well, I think so. Well, what does that mean? I think so. Well, you got $5 in your pocket? Yeah. Oh, you know that, but you don't know if you're saved. Yeah, come on now. I need to know what I'm standing on and what I'm believing in. I need to know that. And so the Alpha needs to know that. Now, in verses 1 through 17, where he's detailing the people and the places, why do you think Theophilus may need to know about these brethren, these people he's going to talk about? Why is that important? Joshua? Suspect, amen. Well, not so much suspect, but you know, it would be good to know who's a Christian when you're going someplace. If he's an official, it would be good to know where the Christians hang out at, amen, who the brethren are, amen. I don't know about you, but when I go to a place, I like to find the church, and I want to find the Christians. I want to see the saints. I want to see where the born-again folks are at, amen. And so it could be helpful for him to know that, being an official, to know where the brethren are at, amen. I've gone to North Carolina up there, and Brother Simmons, Charlotte. I had never been to Charlotte before, and I got a chance to go to Charlotte, North Carolina. And dummy me, that right down the street there was the University of North Carolina. But in small print, it said Charlotte. And so I'm a Jordan fan. Jordan played for Chicago. And I told G2, let's go down the street and see where Jordan played, amen? And the lady said, well, no, Jordan played at the other University of North Carolina. I said, there's two? She said, oh, that's this one. What is it called? Where's the one where Jordan played at? Tar Heels. Chapel Hill, I think that's it. And so I didn't know they were different. And so she said, no, those are the gold miners or the 49ers or something like that. The little people, amen. You know, and I told G2, we can see it down there. Let's go and see where Jordan stomped at. Maybe we can get a picture like this or something. Yeah, I'm getting all excited, amen. That wasn't even the place, amen. But it was good to go down there and meet brethren there in Charlotte. I'd never been in Charlotte, amen. Had some good fish, catfish, glory. Oh, it was great. And just going down there to meet the brethren, amen. If I go back, guess where I'm going? to Charlotte. Guess what I'm going to get? Some catfish. Guess where I'm going to church at? At Harbor Baptist Church. Amen. That's where I'm going. Amen. And so it's good to have people in places that you go. Amen. Let's get this thing started here. Finding the way to Jerusalem is the first thing I want to talk about. Finding the way to Jerusalem. Amen. As we open chapter 21, Luke again begins detailing the voyage to Jerusalem. Paul was run out of Jerusalem a while back. And God told him to get out of Jerusalem because they're not going to receive your report. Now, after a long wait, he's going back to the place where they tried to get him killed once again. Now, I don't know about you, but if they tried to kill me once, I don't know if I want to go back. Brother Neil, what about you? If they stoned you at the first church, you want to go back to that church? Yes, it hits you upside the head with a rock, you know. Well, I'm a guy that got burdened to go back, and I got to really be burdened. I mean, I got to really be burdened to go over there. I don't want another rock upside my head, amen. That's not what I live for, amen. But Paul is going back there. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's still down in Mexico, amen. So you know it's got to be a call of God, because average folk, when they get threatened, don't go back. I had a cousin that got threatened. They said, if you come back, we're going to shoot you. And guess what? He went back. And guess what they did? They shot him. That was no threat. It was not a threat. It was a promise. If you come back, we're going to shoot you. He came back there. What are you going to do to me? Pow. I'm thinking, you're not smart. No, but he's a paraplegic. He's a paraplegic to this day. Well, no, he's dead now, but amen, he was. And so Paul is going back to Jerusalem. How many of y'all would be on the first boat back? You got to have a burden of God, and you've got to be called of God to do something like that. Average folk don't do these type of things, amen? If you've been threatened by somebody, you don't want to go back. But Paul had a burden for his people, and he's going back to there. And I want you to look at your map there, or you can look at the back of your Bibles there, whichever one you got there. And I'm going to read off some names, and I want you to follow this. Now, if you've got the one that I gave you, the little spider at the top will go straight down to Miletus. That's where Paul is starting at. The little spider goes straight down to Miletus. That's where he's starting at. Now, if you go back to verse number 17 of chapter number 20, you'll find it says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So that's where he's starting from, Miletus, Acts chapter 20, verse 17. So when you open up chapter 21, he's starting from there. Notice what it says there. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cos. Amen. Anybody see that place there? C-O-S? Everybody got that on your map? Anybody not see Cos? Okay. And then he says, and the day following unto Rhodes. Everybody see Rhodes? Everybody got that? Anybody lost? All right. Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Everybody see Patara? Okay. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now we had discovered Cyprus. Everybody see Cyprus? Okay. It's right above Paphos and next to Salamis. Everybody see that? We left it on the which side? The left-hand side, and sailed into Syria. Everybody see Syria? If you've got one of these maps, it's underlined big bold because it's the big region up there called Syria. Syria. And landed at Tyre. Everybody see Tyre? Everybody got that? Okay. Now, this is where they're sailing to. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, and we'll come back to this, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we parted and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. We kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And we had finished our course from Tyre. Everybody got Tyre? Amen. We came to Ptolemy. Everybody find Ptolemy? And saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. You find this theme, Paul going to place after place. When he's finding disciples, he's staying there. Notice verse number 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. Everybody see Caesarea? And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven. Everybody remember him, I'm sure. And abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come in unto us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. I'm sure you would probably turn back already. And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up carriages and went up to where? Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. In verse 17, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. So you find two things going down here, the places and the people. And when you find the people here, you're going to find a common thread. Notice verse number 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there how many days? 7 days. Verse number 5. And when we had accomplished what? Those days. Come down to verse number 7. When we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, saluted the brethren, and abode with them what? 1 day. And then verse 8. And the next day, we that were Paul's company departed. Amen. And it says this, when they departed, came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And we tarried there what? Many days. Amen. And there came down from Judea this certain prophet named Agabus. Amen. You come down here to verse number 15. After they couldn't persuade Paul, verse 15. And after what? Those days, we took up carriages and went up to Jerusalem. So you find this thread, Paul going to these areas. And when he would find some brethren, he would stay with them 1, 2, 3 days or more. What do you think he did when he stayed with them? Preach. Share the gospel with them. Tell them about God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them what happened to him. Tell them about the Gentiles being saved. Tell them about the Jews and the religion that's there. Tell them about Jerusalem, how everything got started. Tell them about his missionary journey, number 1, missionary journey, number 2, missionary journey, number 3. Tell them about the elders up there in Miletus. And I'm sure he filled their hearts up. And guess what? I bet they were saying, glory to God, I'm glad you stopped by. Amen. I don't know about you. We had the privilege of having some great preachers stay in our house when we were in Belgium. And man, just to talk to those great men, to hear what they had to say was a blessing to me, to hear what they had gone through and what they had come through. Amen. And what a blessing. Over in Europe, you could get away with that and they would stay in your houses there. And we would have some great, great times. I remember Dr. Gray was an aged man. And I mean, we didn't have any kids. And so our house was strategically laid out. And it was too strategically laid out for him. He said, look, can y'all move some of this stuff out of the way? I'm an old man. I might trip and fall and hurt myself. And we're like, what? You going to trip and fall? I mean, I thought preachers were, you know, nimble and stuff like that. Amen. But he's like, no. I'm going to trip over some of that stuff, move some of that stuff. But just being able to fellowship with him. And Paul is taking this opportunity as he's going back to Jerusalem to witness to these people who most were probably Gentiles. They were not Jews. Amen. And so Jews still had that stigma. Well, they didn't get around a whole lot of Gentiles. Amen. And so you and I would be out there. If a Jew came by, they'd turn their nose up at you. You were a Gentile dog. Amen. And so you were not privy to what they had. And so most of them would turn their nose up. I'm so glad that Paul didn't have a problem in hobnobbing with Gentiles. Amen. If that were the case, you and I would not be saved. Amen. And so we find the way to Jerusalem. We look at this map and we see all these places Paul went to: Coles, Rhodes, Patara, Cyprus, Syria, Tyre, Ptolemy, Caesarea, and Jerusalem. Now, finding disciples on the way. Finding disciples on the way. Paul had a knack for finding people. Now, by the way, come to verse number 2. And notice what it says here. And finding a ship sailing unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left. Now, trivia question. Who was from Cyprus that started out with Paul? Anybody remember? Barnabas was from Cyprus. Don't you think as they passed Cyprus, who do you think Paul was thinking about? Barnabas. Who remembers what happened in chapter 15 with Barnabas and Paul? They had a disagreement. Now, by the way, and we talked about this before, who was in the will of God and who wasn't? We really don't know. Barnabas was the son of consolation. We know that. And so he wanted to console John Mark. Paul was a missionary, a visionary, wanted to go on the road. And I don't have time for baggage. And so I'm moving forward. So who's right and who's wrong? Both were right. God gave Paul a mission and a ministry. God gave Barnabas a mission and a ministry. I'm a consoler. I've got to console. I'm a missionary. I've got to move out. I've got to go. And so, Barnabas, if you want to take John Mark, you go. I'm going to take Silas, and I'm going this way, and I'll pick up Timothy on the way. Good men can disagree. Good men can disagree. What did God get out of the deal? Two missionary teams. Well, who did Paul finally call for back in his latter years? John Mark. How was he able to call for John Mark? Because somebody consoled him, Barnabas, the consoler. And Barnabas got him back up on his feet. Now, just think if Barnabas would have said, I don't care if you are my cousin. You're on your own, buddy. I'm going with Paul. You're out there. What would have happened to John Mark? Could have fell by the wayside. Could have become discouraged. Could have become disillusioned. My own family has turned their back on me. And we both call ourselves being saved. You never know. But you find Cyprus here, and I can only imagine as they're sailing past there, Paul is probably thinking, man, that's where Barnabas came from. I wonder if Barnabas has gone back home as they're sailing back there. But guess what? They didn't stop. Why? Paul's on a mission. Paul's on a mission. He said, I can't stop. I'm going to Cyprus. I'm going to Jerusalem. So I can't stop there. And he says, we left it on the left. Now, notice how they say that. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand. Like, I got to go. I got to move. Barnabas, I love you, but I got to go. I got to go. We left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria, landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. Notice verse number four, those first three words. And finding disciples. What does that mean to you? And finding disciples. Followers of Jesus, Christians. But what does the word finding mean? Sought them out. I had to go look for them. They didn't just pop up at the port and say, hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, hey. No, they didn't know Paul was coming. Paul had to get off the ship and go find the brethren. He had to go find them. Hey, when you go to a new town, guess what? The church is not going to come looking for you. You got to go looking for the church. The church is always going to be there, but you've got to get off and find some disciples. You've got to find the church. You've got to find the house of God. Finding disciples, amen. It's great how we can seem to find believers if we're looking for them. Somebody say amen. Amen. By the way, when you go on vacation, you don't go on vacation from God in the house of God. Somebody say amen. Some folks have to say, well, I'm on vacation, so I don't go to church. Oh, so you just go to church when you're at home. Hypocrite. I'm just going to call it out. Hypocrite. That's a hypocrite. To say you're going to support the church here, but when you go, you don't go to church. That's hypocritical. Amen. Hypocritical. So when you go on vacation, don't go on vacation from God. Amen. Guess what? You can be a blessing to somebody. Amen. I know we went down there to North Carolina. Amen. It was a blessing to get down there with Brother Kenny Simmons. It was a blessing to go to Brother Frank's and go down there and preach for him. Blessing to go to Coba and meet all the brethren there. Amen. And so it's great how they can seem to find believers, and we can find believers if we're walking with the Lord and keeping our spiritual antennas sharply tuned into God and his will for our life. By the way, born again believers are everywhere. Amen. They're not just not here at Shining Light Baptist Church. Amen. By the way, I'll go one step further. They're not just at every fundamental Baptist church. They're not just at every Baptist church. They're not just at every church. They're everywhere. You're going to find God's people all over the planet, sprinkled out. They may not go to church. That doesn't mean they're not born again. They may be out of the will of God. Amen. But that doesn't mean they're not born again. So you're going to find believers everywhere. They found these brethren. Amen. By the way, some may be off a bit in their doctrine, and you should beware and be discerning, because not everybody's going to believe the same doctrinal principles that you believe out of the word of God. So you just can't get over there and say, hey, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Because they may not believe what you believe. They could be saying, I'm not sure I'm saved. There's no such thing as eternal security. And singing all kinds of other things. Amen. So you got to be careful. Now, they're born again. They're born again. Praise God for that. But they may not believe the same doctrine that you believe. And I'm sure as Paul got off this ship here and they found these disciples, he had the ability to discern and see who is who. And everywhere they went, it was a blessing for Paul. And so we find down there in verse 4, it says, "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days." So 7 days he got off and started preaching about something. Now, what did he preach about? I have no idea. But he stayed there 7 days. Now, you ain't going to get a preacher to stay somewhere place 7 days with brethren. They ain't going to share some gospel with them. Amen. Especially if you never saw him before, and you probably will never see him again. Amen. And so the disciples were found here in this first city they went to. Amen. And by the way, I don't know about you, down there in verse number 4, if I'm looking for disciples, what should I be looking for in a disciple? Someone who's faithful. Someone who's faithful. Amen. What else should I be looking for in a disciple? If I'm going to find a disciple, what am I looking for, Rose? Integrity. That always helps. Amen. Layla? Wisdom, that always helps. Amen. What else? If I'm looking for a disciple, because he had to find the disciples. We say, sis?
There's someone who emulates Christ, who is supposed to be
Christ-like. Amen. Amen. By the way, if they're not emulating Christ-like, does that mean they're not saved? No, that doesn't mean they're not saved. Amen. They could genuinely be saved, but maybe they just got saved yesterday. Amen. And so you got to be careful with that. What else should I look for? Amen. If I'm going to find some disciples, especially if I'm going to find a church. Amen. Feel the same way I feel. By the way, does it matter what Bible they use?
No.
It really doesn't. But if I'm going to fellowship, I want to be on one accord with the King James Bible. If I want to find someplace close enough to where I am standing and what I believe. Now, they can believe what they want to believe. Amen. But if I'm going to go to church, I want to try to find someplace that believes and stands the way I do. Now, it may not always be possible. Amen. I understand that. Some places you cannot find that, and they're getting slimmer and slimmer to find. Amen. But they should have the same beliefs and the same principles that you have and you hold and you believe. They really should. Amen. And I am partial. If I go in there and they're not using the King James Bible, I am not coming back. That's just me. I'm not coming back. I will find some place that's going to use it. Amen. Because I still think it's the best translation for the English speaking people. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. And at the same time, too, children are at stake. Children, what am I teaching my children? I believe the King James Bible is the best, and so why would I subject them to something less than the best if I can help it? Amen. And so I'm not going to do it. Amen. Then, now, again, that's me. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I believe is the perfect will of God, and I believe it's King James Bible. So we should be looking for that. Amen. I should be looking for some preaching and teaching. And I should be looking for some scriptural, contextual teaching and preaching, amen? Not this one verse, and then I'm off here, oh, look at the bus, and look at it, and tell a thousand stories about something that matters not to the word of God, amen? It should relate, and if I'm going to get to find some disciples and some teaching and preaching, by the way, I have had to look for churches before. And a good place is normally the website, and see what they believe. Brother Joe was talking about the church that they joined up there. He said, preacher, I need you to look at these churches, amen? And I was going on the website, looking at them, and the first thing I went to the doctrine. What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about sin? What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? I want to check it out and see what they believe, because some people start off real good, and then they kind of spiral off into something that is really not right. But they start good. Oh, we believe the Bible, the Word of God, and we believe this. But do you believe the King James Bible? Well, you know. Oh, no. Well, we don't know. No, let's not go there. Amen. I'm just saying, you know, there should be some kind of order. There should be some kind of structure if I'm looking for a place to worship here. It says here he found disciples. Now, did they have an organized service there? I don't know. But I do know that he stayed there 7 days, and he stayed with these disciples. He found these brethren down there in verse number 4. It says, "And find disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said through Paul, said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." Now, there's been much controversy over this statement and this verse. I've heard some people say that, see, Paul's out of the will of God because they told him, now notice this, if you got a Bible there, capital S Spirit, right? So that means the Holy Spirit. And so there are those that believe that people told him that the Spirit of God has told me to tell you that you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. And if you go, you're out of the will of God. I've heard that thought. And I've heard the other side that says this, that they're warning him that if he goes to Jerusalem, which he plans on going, it's not going to be good for him. Now, do you think Paul is getting out of the will of God? No. I can't see it happening. I can see Paul so burdened for his people that he doesn't care that he's going to get hurt. I can see that. Matter of fact, show you something here. Go back just one chapter, Acts chapter 20. And notice verse number 22. And notice what he says. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto where? Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the who? The Holy Ghost witnesses in every city. The Holy Ghost has already told me every city that I've gone, saying that what? Bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, I know that. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to do what? Testify the gospel of the grace of God. And notice this. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face when?
No more.
Paul was fully aware that the Holy Ghost had already told him that going there means his death. But even go back to chapter 9, because even when he first got saved, it was talked about. Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 9, Ananias was encouraged to go down here and lay hands on Paul so that he could receive his sight. And then verse number 13 of chapter 9, then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. That's what he's doing now. And what? Kings. And who? The children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will what? Show him how great things he must what? Suffer for my name's sake. Paul knew that this is going to happen. And so the party that says he's out of the will of God, I think they're in error when they say that, because Paul full well knew. I don't think he's being disobedient at all. I think they're just relaying to him that if you go there, this is what's going to happen. Paul said, look, I know that already. I already know that. Now, if my cousin had a sense in his head, they say, now, if you go back down there, and they did tell him, if you go back down, they're going to shoot you. You know what he said? I know that. And guess what? They shot him. So who does he have to blame? Himself? You had something, Josiah? Okay, amen. So go back to Acts chapter 20. We're going to go ahead and quit with this, amen, before we do this. But he found these disciples there, and the finding means he searched for them and looked for them, and these newfound friends here in this fellowship began to tell him, look, the Holy Spirit has warned me that if you go there, this is what's going to happen. Notice how it reads again. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Is the Holy Spirit going to contradict himself? No. So obviously the meaning there is, if you go there, this is going to happen. Last chance to turn around. Now, wait a minute. Here's the rest of the argument that people say. Who was Paul the apostle to? Gentiles. Who was the apostle to the Jews? Peter. And so they get their argument or their impetus from the fact that Paul was never the apostle to the Jews. So he had no business going anyway. So he's out of the will of God. Amen. And that's where they get their information from. They say, well, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He had no business going down there to Jerusalem anyway. That's Peter's job. Well, any of y'all see Peter doing a great job witnessing to the Jews? And Paul was burdened for them. And I believe God allowed him to go there, but showed him, if you go there, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what's going to happen. And God knew way back when what he was going to do. That's why he said, I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. But the Spirit predicted the sufferings that would fall on Paul. And these Christian brethren here tried to dissuade him. And in Paul's mind, the duty was calling louder than their dissuasion. And so because the duty is calling and somebody's got to reach the Jews at Jerusalem, I am going to go. This is my duty and I'm going to reach my people. Now, was he still the apostle to the Gentiles? Yes, he was. But he had a burden for his people. You read Acts chapter number 10, he'll tell you how strong it was in Acts chapter 9 and 10. And so the Spirit of God made known to these people somehow, some way by the Spirit of God that Paul was going to suffer. Had they met Paul before? No. They'd never met Paul before. So you can honestly say it was of the Spirit because they didn't know Paul. And they didn't know anything about him. But the Spirit spoke loud and clear and said, look, this is what's going to happen if you go. And guess what? It happened just like they said. And Paul's strong desire to go up to Jerusalem got him in prison, but it got him before Caesar and it got him before a lot of other officials. It got him before kings, just like Acts chapter 9 said. And I can't understand that any more than you can, but I know this. I don't believe Paul was going to be disobedient to God. He loved God too much, but he loved his people as well. And the Spirit just warned him of the things that were there. You're going to find later on, Agabus came down and said the same thing. Agabus said, look, this is what's going to happen to the guy that bears this girdle. Now, if somebody told you that, would you still go? If you were called of God, you would. Amen. If you were called of God, you would. My wife said, honey, don't start this church. You're in no condition. But guess what? I was called of God. And nothing was going to stop me. She said, you're in no physical condition to do this. I said, I'm not, but God is. And nothing was going to dissuade me from starting this church. Nothing. Nothing. My wife, she can vouch for it. I said, no. I said, it's not going to happen. I am starting this church some way. How? God's called me to do it. And if he called me to do it, he's going to do it through me. He's got to. Because I'm going to do it. And I may die in the process. Amen. But I'm going to do it. Amen. And I can't take any credit for it. You know why? Because God did it. God did it. I can't take a bit of credit for it, amen. If I did it, I probably would have took some credit for it. Like this great Babylon, which I have built, amen. And you know what happened to that guy, amen. Exactly, amen. So we really don't understand all that goes in behind this, but we know it would have been criminal for Paul to disobey the direct command of the Spirit of God because he was full of the Spirit oftentimes. Now, was he still a sinner just like you and I? Yes, he was. But the Spirit foretold his persecutions. And I don't agree with those that say he was out of the will of God because God still blessed everything that he did. And he'd been in prison and he got to witness to many people. Amen. So folks, as we leave here today, two things, you know, the places you go and the people you meet, never discount that God can throw somebody new in your pathway. The places you go and the people, God can always throw somebody new in your pathway. That you will know. I still think about Frank Herndon. Frank would annoy me every day. I'm getting baptized in the Jordan River, coming to my office bragging, looking at me. And I said, Lord, this man is just getting under my skin. I'm getting baptized in the Jordan River. Yeah, I'm saved. And I just went to his office and I said, look, let me give you the gospel, man. He got saved. To this day, I praise God that God brought him in my pathway. But he annoyed me to no end at first. He was braggadocious and arrogant and would come in my office. And I'm like, come on, man. You know, what's up with that? But look at him now. Look at him now. Amen. God will put people in your pathway, the journey of life. Take special note of what he's trying to do through them and possibly what he's trying to do through you. Paul was burdened about Jerusalem, but he found time for these people in these places and made some friends for eternity that he probably would never have seen had he not stopped with these people and talked to them. Take great care for who God brings in your pathway. You never know what it may turn out to be. You never know. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for, Lord, allowing us to see just a glimpse of Paul's journey back to Jerusalem. And Lord, the things going on here, we may not understand all about how Paul was warned through the Spirit that he shouldn't go to Jerusalem, and how Agabus warns him and he still goes. Lord, I believe it's his zeal and his desire to see the Jews saved. And God, help us to have that same desire, that same zeal when you call us to a task, that nothing can persuade or dissuade us against doing that which you've called us to do. We may be diligent and persevering no matter the cost. And Lord, I pray that whatever it is that you have us to do, we might do it heartily as unto the Lord, not as unto man. I thank you for these dear Christian brethren that embraced Paul who had never seen him. Thank you that Paul had it in him to search out and seek out the disciples. Help us to search out and seek out folks as well, Lord. We may have good fellowship with them. And then, Lord, learn from them as well as them learning from us. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Bless now. We go our separate ways tonight that you may get all praise, honor, and glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.